The Bible, it's an amazing book. If you read it, the stories are fascinating and they just capture you. It's about God's interactions with humanity. Sometimes we get so used to hearing the stories and they just, you know, they go in one ear and out the other because they're so familiar. But the fact is, Jesus did extraordinary things, supernatural things. God did amazing things. I mean, the proof is right here. God created out of nothing. I mean, if you just take a moment to consider how amazingly you are made, it boggles the mind. You know, the way our bodies heal if we get a cut, and the way it just comes together, and even if one atom or one whatever was off, we wouldn't be able to have life. But that's God. He is perfect and he is powerful. He is, so that, you know, we talked about this in Bible study. He is omnipotent, which means all powerful. He is omniscient, which means all seeing. He is omnipresent, which means present at all times. So there's no beginning and end. It just boggles my mind when I consider who God is. And we have the person of Jesus, God in human flesh, to help us understand this amazing, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God. Jesus did extraordinary things. Today we read about one of the healings that he did. And the way the unclean spirit responded, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Whether or not that unclean spirit chose to submit to Jesus' authority or not, he didn't have a choice. If not for the choice that God gave for them to pick a path, and they picked the wrong path, the demons. We too have a path that we can choose, but we cannot escape the authority of Christ, the authority of God who created each one of us and who gives us a mission in this church to make him known, not to be comfortable, not to stay where we are, but to grow. So my friends, if you are the same way that you were when you first encountered Jesus, we have a problem, because that's not submitting until under the authority of Christ. Because if we submit, there's a change that happens. There's a peace that enters in. There's a transformation so that who you were is no longer who you are, but you will change into reflect the image of God. And that's hard. That's hard. Because you know what? We read about Jesus and we want the nice, fuzzy, soft Jesus, don't we? The Jesus in the manger who's a baby that we can hold and cuddle and domesticate. We want. And so we tend to go the route that, oh, well, God will forgive me what I will do because you know what? Jesus loves me. Absolutely, he loves you and me. But he has non-negotiable rules. If you're going to follow me, take up my cross. If you're going to follow me, you're going to deny yourself and you're going to change. That's what he tells us. Unfortunately, I think when we domesticate Jesus, in other words, we stick with the doing what we want because he's going to, you know, love us anyway, then we don't take it seriously. Today, I want to talk about whose authority do we follow? Are we submitting into Christ's authority? Or are we, because make no mistake, my friends, we're submitting to something. Whatever we allow to have power in our lives, that's what we're submitting to. We can say, oh, we're free. We live in the land of the free. Okay. But think about it for a moment. From the moment we're born, we submit authority. When you're a child, your parents, they wish they had a remote, but they don't. But we're still under their authority, right? Our parents, our guardians have some power over us. So when you're young, that's that power. And then as you get older, believe it or not, we follow the way of the world. I mean, how many of us remember when we were kids, what the trend was, what all the kids were doing, what they were wearing, you wanted it, and you went to your parents? Why, we ask? Oh, because everyone has it. The phone. You know, whatever the latest trend is, the outfit and all those things. Make no mistake, we are submitting under authority. and it's not ours. And as we get older, my friends, sometimes we let people push our buttons. Someone gets us angry, so we go with that. Maybe there's jealousy, there's bitterness. We allow that to push our buttons, them to push our buttons. We are submitting under that authority, and we're allowing ourselves to be a prisoner of that. So listen, the question I have for us is, not you, us, whose authority are we going to follow in our lives, in our church? Are we going to do everything because everyone else does it? Are we going to allow the fruits of the Spirit versus the fruits of the flesh? Are we going to be subject to the fruits of the flesh? Because that's under the control of the enemy, my friends. Don't mistake. We're not free. There's only one who's free, and that's Christ. And he came to invite us to experience freedom in a whole new way by submitting to his authority. And I know that doesn't make sense, right? Wait, you're telling me I'm going to be free by submitting to someone else? Well, yes. Because Christ came to free us from the limits of sin and the consequences of it, death. He wants us to be free in his kingdom. He wants us to have true life, life eternal, because he's in charge. You know, this world didn't get created on its own. I know, Big Bang Theory, right? But guess what? Where did the Big Bang come from? If you keep going back, if you keep, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg, you know? If you keep going back, there's got to be a time and a point where there's one in charge, right? There's got to be one who is outside of the limits of time, space, continuum. I'm not a science person. Some of you are, I know, and that's okay. But listen, I do believe in God, and what I said before, he is outside of those limits. He's outside, no beginning or an end, and I know we can't grasp it, but that's who he is. That's the definition of God. So today, I want us to think about whose authority are we submitting. Let's pray as we ask God to help us understand this. Holy God, as we come to you this morning, we do confess that we have a hard time letting go of control. We think we're in control, but we're not. We allow other things to control us, the enemy to control us, but we need your Holy Spirit to break those bonds. Come, speak to us. Help us to follow you and to follow your ways and have the courage and strength to do things even when we don't want to do it. All these things we pray in the powerful name of Christ. Amen. Amen. So the fact is, when we talk about authority and power, we've been taught to look at it a certain way. We have. The world's way. You know, when you're young, you know, the power is in our parents. And, you know, I still remember my parents can do anything. My mom can fix anything. You know? You remember that time when our kids looked at us and anything was broken, the toy they gave it to us? Yeah, you're supposed to fix it and make all things right. If there's a boo-boo, kiss it, make it better. You know, we had that power. But as they grew older, boy, we didn't know anything, right? Their friends knew everything, however. And so they submitted to that authority where, well, I'm going to do this because my friends are doing it, and that's the right way. And as they get older, as we get older, I pray that we understand the difference between control and true authority. And today, as we come before God, there's a part of us that understands who's really in power. Maybe we don't get it fully, but I think there's something inside of us that moves us to come here. Maybe we don't quite kind of grasp it. It eludes us. I mean, we talk about this peace. We talk about this love and joy that Christ gives to us. And it's like, I want it, and you get a glimpse of it, but not really. And that's okay, my friends. That's okay. Because it's going to take a lifetime for us to unlearn the rules of this world. The rules that we unconsciously follow. The things that our parents taught us, sometimes wrong things, because they were also doing it because, well, that's the way it's always been done. But we who gather here under the authority of Christ need to understand that the kingdom rules are so different. In fact, my friends, I would submit that they're total opposite to what this world would have us do and live. You know, this world tells us to look out for number one. There's nothing you shouldn't have. Seek your desires. You deserve pleasure. The rules of the kingdom, however, deny yourself. Sacrifice. If you have two coats, give to one who needs it. The world, you can never have too much coats. You need the latest fashion. Get rid of the old one. You know what I'm saying? There's a total opposite way of thinking in God's kingdom. Well, this world is wrong. The way of God, however, my friends, you and I need to unlearn all these things because the rules are of the God's kingdom. They are for eternity, and they are what's going to matter. When we think of authority, we don't necessarily equate humility, meekness, and suffering. But we equate strength and power to the voice that's the loudest, who has the most power, right? Who has the most money? Who is the most successful? We tend to equate authority with that, do we not? But that's not what Jesus teaches us. In Greek, the word authority is exousia. That's sovereign freedom, full freedom. It's related to the verb existi, meaning it's free or it is permitted. That's what the word exousia in Greek. You know, the translations, you know, we have the Bible and it's translated and we lose some of the original meaning. In Greek, exousia, meaning it's free or it's permitted, refers to Christ's authority. He has no limits. He is free and he is able to permit what needs to be permitted. Jesus' exousia, Jesus' authority is without limits, my friends. We see it in many ways. Jesus had absolute power, absolute authority. He had power over disease and illness. We just read one story of Jesus' healing today. There are plenty of stories of the blind seeing, the lepers, and the paralyzed walking, and many, even the dead coming to life. Jesus had power, my friends. There's story after story. Jesus had power over nature. He calmed the storm. He walked on water. Jesus had power over demons. Even those who did not choose to follow him, he still had power over them so that when he tells them to get out, they get out. My friends, Jesus is not to be domesticated. Jesus is to be followed. He is the Holy One of God. In fact, he is God in human flesh. Jesus had power over sin, so that he could say to the man, your sins are forgiven, and heal him. Jesus had power over all things, power over death. Jesus took the weight on of our sin that separates us from God, and he conquered it on the cross, my friends. In fact, do you know, Jesus had authority to save himself anytime he wanted to. He didn't have to go to the cross. He didn't have to come to earth. He did not have to suffer. Matthew 25, verse 53 to 54, we read, when Jesus is about to be arrested, he tells his disciples, are you not aware that I can call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? My friends, Jesus came to this earth willingly to show you and I true freedom in his kingdom, to free us from the chains that of sin and death that bind us on this earth. And we're all going to die, my friends. We're all going to leave this earth. But the good news is there's an eternity waiting for us under a king that is perfect, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, all-loving. There is a king. So if you're looking for a king on this earth, you're going to be disappointed. Do not look to political looters. Looters. Did I just say that? I meant leaders. Was that a Freudian slip? Listen, don't listen to me. That's contradictory. Listen to what God tells you. Do not look to any human person because we all have our agendas and our best, our self-interest, and we are limited. But Jesus, he is the perfect king. It takes strength, my friends, to leave your comfort, to help those who don't appreciate or love you, or want the worst of you. The very people that sent Jesus to die, he forgave on the cross. Can you imagine? Pretend you know how to swim. I don't know how to swim. Well, kind of. It's been a while. But pretend you know how to swim and you see someone drowning. And you leave your nice, comfortable place on the seashore and you go out there to help them because you see them struggling. But that person says, leave me alone. I can do it. I got this. Are you going to continue to struggle at the risk of your life to save them, or are you going to leave them be? You and I might leave them be. God, he chose to go all in Christ. He gave his life to save you and I from drowning. We are drowning in sin. You and I think we've got this. We don't got this. I know it's bad grammar, forgive me. We don't have this. We're not in control. You know, that thing that we did with the kids. If you were able to fast forward to your life, you'd think, I think I'd make better decisions. Fact is, we're not in control because we let other people push our buttons. You know, when we are old enough, you know, we find love. And so there are times when we allowed our partner to lead us astray. Follow what they do. Follow what they say. Why? Because those beautiful, lovely feelings that we have, and it's love, and it's all good, but sooner or later, you know, that fades. Because it's limited and human. That love will fade. Sometimes we put people before God. We put our kids before God, and boy, do they know how to push our buttons. Amen? Can anyone agree? No one? Yes? We love our kids, but boy, they know. Because my friends, they are human. You and I try to push God's buttons. Why? Well, God doesn't love me because he's not doing this, this, and this. Well, God doesn't care about me because he's allowing me to suffer and he's not fixing this, this, and this. You insert what this, this, and that is. But when that happens, we try to put God in a box, a genie in a bottle, so to speak. That's not who God is. God cannot be controlled by our manipulations. God's ways are not our ways. God's plans are not our plans. God is above it all, yet he's in control. Omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Understand that he has authority, full authority, and Jesus has that authority. So do not domesticate Jesus. My friends, I pray that as we consider how we are drowning in sin, feeling powerless. Have you ever felt powerless over the things in your life? What are you struggling against? Are you guided by emotions, feelings of unrest, anger, bitterness, hurt, disappointment, jealousy, avarice? Now I'm quoting, you know, there are many lists in the Bible that we read about that. If you're feeling any of those things, know that that's not from God. Know that that is the enemy of this world. Do not let yourself be bound by those things. Submit instead to the authority of Jesus, who says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives it, but I give it to you. And that means sacrifice. That means forgiveness. That means giving up what you hold so dear. What is it that you hold so dear? What have you put before God? What have you submitted to? What have you given into and given power over to that you need to that I need to unlearn? We all need to do that. The question today, and we have to be very careful because we can convince ourselves, if only they did this, then it would be perfect. If only my spouse cleaned the dishes or cleaned the house or did the laundry, it'd be okay. Uh-uh. If only they would do this and our kids. If only the kids would clean up after themselves. If only our kids would study harder. If only our kids would get into this school or get this job, it'll be okay. No. You're submitting under the authority and the way the world thinks. Instead, however, how about this? Asking God to help your child. Asking God to help your spouse. Asking God to help us, to free us from all these things that bind us, so that with the power of his Holy Spirit, we can find freedom true exousia, under the authority of the one who has ultimate power. The question and the choice is ours. We're not puppets, my friends. You know, we blame God for all the things he allows, but he gave you and I free will. So what choice are we making? Are we going to choose to pass the peace like our kids did? Are we going to choose to deny ourselves and instead seek Christ's way of love and forgiveness and of peace and joy? Of sacrifice? And that means, my friends, when you join this church, when you join and become a disciple of Christ, that means sacrifice of time, of talents, and money. Yes, all these things, God doesn't need them. But he invites you and I to be a part of this work so that when we bring it to submit under his authority, we get to experience a part of that kingdom that we will one day fully live in here and now. That's a choice we have. And I pray that we at this church would choose to submit under the authority of the one who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. Let us seek Christ's authority in our lives, and may God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May they not just be words, but a way of life for each one of us. And so, my friends, we pray. Let us pray now for our church together.